chapter 4, the book of Exodus, chapter 4. And then when you find Exodus chapter 4, if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Exodus chapter 4, and then the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, everybody find your place there and get settled down as we listen to the message tonight. Did you know that all of us as Christians are handicapped? Did you know that? I've been preaching now for 17 years, and I've never met one Christian. I've never met one Christian that didn't have something major in their life that they could point their finger at and say, "Well, I quit because of that." Or they couldn't do it. Every Christian I've ever met that lived for God and served God had something in their life that they could consider a handicap. As a matter of fact, I've never met one person that quit serving God that didn't have a reason for it. They thought, "Well, you don't know how my husband treated me, Pastor." Or, "Well, they done me wrong down there at the church." Or, "I knew a preacher, and he disappointed me, and he turned out to be something that I didn't think he was. He done something I didn't think he'd do." Or, "I thought God would take care of me since I got saved and got right with God, and now I've wound up with cancer." Or, "My husband run off with another lady, female." Or, "I lost my job and got laid out." Everybody's got something in their life that they could point to it and say, "I ain't serving God because of this." Or, "I can't be what I'm supposed to be because of the other." So I'm going to preach to you tonight on how to overcome your handicap and serve God anyway. We've all got it now. We've all got people in our minds that we look at and we see these people and we think, "Now they've got it made. If I was in their shoes, I'd be dedicated like they are." You ever looked at anybody like that? They don't have a care. They're caught up on their bills. They've got a good job. They've got a nice home, nice family. Good night. No wonder they serve God. John Ollis, where is he? You'll look at him and say, "Good night, look at him. He's got that brilliant mind for teaching the Bible. He can sing like George Beverly Shea. He's talented in other ways. He's got a good personality. He's got a dedicated wife, kids that are faithful and love their parents and love the Lord. Good night. If I was in him, makes all that money. If I was in his shoes, I could serve God too. My wife is dedicated as his is. And good night." But see, what you don't realize is John is illiterate. He can't read. He memorizes all these songs before he gets... I'm just kidding. He can read. I reckon he can. He holds it up here. But you say, "Well, I never knew that." There's a lot about him you don't know. There's all you see is when he's up here leading the singing and praise the Lord, and he's got on a suit and tie and his family's with him. But everybody, I'll get to you, if you knew in his heart and in his life, there's something that has aggravated the fire out of him to try to get him not to serve God. I believe the Lord's going to have a handicapped parking place for all of us in heaven.
Believe that.
I was thinking about that this evening. Do something, Roy.
This is my handicap right here. I put it off as long as I can put it off. You knew that, didn't you? You knew it.
There'll be none of this kind of junk right here in glory. But until we get there,
if this mic ain't going to work no better than that, I just ain't going to preach no more.
See? Everybody can point at something in their life and say, I'm not what I'm supposed to be, but it's all right because I've got this happening to me or that. No, it's not all right. It's not all right. I think of how we have handicapped parking places out here, people with wheelchairs, maybe on crutches, something like that, and we think, well, isn't that pitiful that they're not able to do like as we do? Not really, because we all got some kind of handicap. All of us. All of us. I'm going to read you about two of the greatest men in the Bible tonight and their handicap and how they overcame it. You could title the message, Service in Spite of Setbacks, or Overcoming Your Handicaps, chapter 4 of Exodus. Well, the greatest men that ever lived, Moses. God began to speak to him, and God began to tell him what he wanted him to do. And God showed him these signs, and God told him to go speak to Pharaoh and do his job. And look what Moses said in verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, Oh, my Lord. That's what I thought when he called me to preach. I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. He's saying, I can't talk no better now than I did before you called me, Lord. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. You know what that means? Moses had a speech problem. He couldn't talk plain. That's right. It's like somebody with some back in the lip. He said, I can't preach, Lord. And the Lord said, yes, you can too. I can't understand me. They think I'm talking in tongues. And the Lord said, look what the Lord said to him. He said, I made you mouth, didn't I? Look what the Lord said. Verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, look at verse 12, and I will fix thy mouth. Then what he said, is it? Is that what your Bible said? If your Bible says that, you got the wrong Bible. He didn't say, go and I'll fix it, Moses. He said, go with it messed up and I'll be with it. Everybody see that? Everybody see that? God don't fix our handicap. He is with us and goes along so that He'll get the glory when He uses us in spite of our handicaps. Lord, we got the wrong idea. This name it, claim it, gab it, grab it gospel on TV has made people think that God is a Western Union boy, that you just punch buttons and give Him orders and God does anything you want Him to do. But it's not that way. God don't fix everything that's wrong with you when He calls you to do something. But He does say this, you go in spite of your handicaps and I'll be with you. Everybody's got a handicap. People say, Brother Danny, if I was like you, I'd go, you can do it. You got a lot to learn. You got a lot to learn. Just because I don't let it show don't mean I don't have handicaps. I've got plenty of them. See, there's some things you don't... I might have a glass eye right here. You didn't know it all these years. Now, I don't, but there's lots of things that we don't see about each other. See? Now, let's look at another man. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll see one of the greatest men in the Bible. And his name was Paul, the greatest man in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and old Paul had a problem. He called it the messenger of Satan that buffets him. He called it, in one place he said, you didn't despise the temptation that was in my flesh. And another place he said, and it's caused a lot of speculation about what it was, but we know one thing. Paul had some kind of handicap that he could have used not to serve God, but didn't. Now look at verse chapter number 12 and verse 7.
And lest I should be exalted above measure. See? That's why God lets us have handicap, so we won't get too big for our britches. Through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. How many times have you and I said, Lord, I ain't had no trouble quitting this or quitting that, but God, there's this one thing that the devil keeps using on me, and God, if you'd just move this thing out of my life, boy, I could serve you better. I can see Paul as he comes to the Lord, and he says, Lord, if it wasn't for this one thing, oh, Father, I could be a great revivalist. I could have mighty revivals all over the East, and I could convert the heathen. God, would you move it? And the Lord says, nope. A little bit later, Paul went back and he said, Lord, you know this one thing that's in my life? It's bothering me, God. God, I can't be what I ought to be because of this thing. It's hindering me. God, it's bothering me. It's him. Lord, would you please move it? And the Lord says, nope. Next time he comes back, God, you don't seem to understand, Lord. I'd be dangerous if it wasn't for this thing. Well, I could put Billy Graham out of business. God, I could preach in great stadiums, and boy, this happened. And the Lord said, just calm down, son. He said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And he said, you just hang out, Paul, and just serve me, and do what you're supposed to, and that way I will work through you, and I'll get the glory. Paul didn't say, well, I'm going to quit if you don't move it. Paul said, I will serve you in spite of my setback. Moses didn't say, well, Lord, if you ain't going to fix my tongue, I ain't going to quit because people make fun of me. See, he didn't say that. He said, well, I sure wish you'd fix it, but if you don't, bless God, I'm going to preach it anyway. See, that's what he done. Amen. Has got something you wouldn't think that God would call a man to preach that couldn't even talk plain. I heard Dr. Jack Hiles tell that story many, many years ago. He said, there's this boy, you might have heard him tell. He said, when he was in seminary, he said he went to school boy. And he said, there's always, just like in high school, on campus and college, back in those days, there was one beauty queen on the campus. And he said, every boy in the school was in love with the school sweetheart beauty queen. She was the campus queen. And every time she would walk by, all the guys in the seminary class would say, boy, I tell you, that is the prettiest lady, and all this stuff, you know. And it went on and on and on. And one day, they began to talk to this boy, and his name was Joe. And Joe couldn't talk plain. And they said, Joe, what are you going to do when you get out of school? He said, I'm going to be a preacher. And they said, Joe, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to let go right there. They said, Joe, now you don't understand. Every boy in school's after that girl. You don't understand, Joe. You'll never. She wouldn't give you the time of day. He said, yes, sir, I sure am. When I get out of school, I'm going to be a preacher, and I'm going to contest, and I'm going to let that go right there. No, you're not, Joe. Now, if you're just dreaming, you better get that stuff out of your head. And boy, old Joe, they was all after, and it come up something like a sweetheart banquet or something like that. And boy, they said, old Joe, begin to work. And they said, Joe got behind his mirror, and he'd go home at night, or every evening, he'd look in the mirror, and he'd practice. He said, may I have a date with you? And they said he'd stand there and he'd say it over and over and over. May I have a date with you? And he said he's practiced him hours every evening. And boy, a few weeks went by, he'd said that 1,000 times. He kept practicing and practicing and practicing and practicing. May I have a date with you? May I have a date with you? He's getting better and better. He's getting better. That's the only thing you can say you can understand. But he kept working on it and working on it and working on it and working on it. And boy, by the time several weeks had passed, he could stand in front of that mirror and he could say, may I have a date with you? And anything else he said to him, just like this.
But when he came to that place, he said,
"May I have a date with you?"
And boy, I'll tell you what, there was that one day, and they said, "Here come the campus queen walking down the sidewalk. And here come Joe walking down the other sidewalk." They said all the preacher boys hid over here in the bushes to watch Joe make a fool out of himself. They said she'll probably slap him. They said, "No, she'll just be nice to him and say, 'That's okay, Joe, I'm not interested.' She probably won't even understand what he's trying to say." So he said they were all hid in the bushes, and the campus beauty queen come walking down the sidewalk. Here come Joe. Joe walked right up to her and stopped her like that, and he said, and she said, "Hello, Joe, how are you?" And Joe stood back, held his shoulders back, after he'd been practicing for hours and weeks, and said, "May I have a date with you?" And they said that girl looked back at him and said, "Joe, what did you say?" He said, "May I have a date with you?" She said, "Joe, how did you learn how to say that?" He said, "I've been practicing and practicing and practicing." She said, "Joe, I can't believe it. How you said that?" He said, "May I have a date with you?" She said, "Yes, Joe, you may." While the boys fainted in the bushes. And brother, Joe walked off arm in arm with the campus beauty queen. And he said, years went by, and now Joe is a pastor of the church, and Joe married the campus queen. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, success, this is one of the most important things I say tonight. Success, hear me, let it down on your heart. Success is not measured by how far a person gets in life, but by the obstacles they overcome and where they get to. Did you hear me? I know a lot of people that have a good Christian home. They've been in church all their life. Mothers and daddies love the Lord, raised them right, and they go so far in the Christian life, and that's good. But I know other people, they were raised to live for the devil. They have absolutely no encouragement at home, and they still stay in there and serve God. They are a success, brother, because the obstacles that they've overcome in getting where they've got. You know, a lot of times we look at people and say, "Well, they ain't got very far." But you don't know what they've overcome in getting where they are. That's right. Brother, they may be a lot further than we think on God's scales and on God's calendar. Boy, it seems like God's people have always been plagued with handicaps. There's always something there to discourage you from serving God. I have people take me wrong all the time. When I go off and preach, people look at me and they say, "Good night. You got that big church to take care of you, and you've got this, and you've got that, and you can think clearly, and you can understand the Bible, and you feel good, and you're healthy, and all da, 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 da." They just don't know what they're talking about. I could have not have preached tonight and had a good reason for it. I got here and I could have told you, I said, "Folks, I just don't feel like preaching tonight. I've had a real rough evening. Y'all just don't understand. My telephone has rung. I was trying to pray and study at 6 o'clock, and here the phone was ringing, and somebody called long distance, and then this happened, and then that happened, and I've had this, and I had that happen, and I had the other happen. And did you realize at 15 minutes till 7 tonight, I was hollering, 'Girls, let's go, let's go.' They was fixing grilled cheese on the stove at 15:07, brother. 15:07, had grilled cheese on the stove. I said, 'Carrie, what? Did you start fixing that for?' She said, 'Well, they wanted something.' And so we was grabbing grilled cheese and coat in our arms, carrying my Bible out to get here to church on time tonight, see? And boy, they ate grilled cheese. They probably some out there in the floorboard of my car right now. There's at least one little squirt bear full of Coke out there in my car right now. And boy, we was backing out of the park, out of the carport, and I had the car in the bus trying to hurry, and I said, "You know," and the back door was open. I almost drug it off on the lawnmower. That happened right before we got here tonight. Typical evening. And brother, I tried my best to get ready and try to pray. Hey, try to pray and study. Boy, I do like this. I'm saying, "Oh God, bless service tonight." And here comes Corey wanting to ride the horsey. You wouldn't believe the times I prayed with her on my back. Just right on my back. "Daddy, Daddy, 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 Now listen, when you're praying, you're supposed to be a Christian. You can't turn around and say, "Get off of me!" See? You can't do that when you're praying. She would say, "Good night." Praying sure don't do him no good, does it? So I'm saying, oh God, service tonight. That's the way I do. I'm serious. I'm telling you the truth. And I could have got up here and said, "Folks, I just ain't had time to get ready." I just said, "Listen, I ain't thought of that story I told y'all a minute ago in ages. That Joe story, that's the first time I thought of that in no telling how long." But I just got up here and started, and it just came off. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, God, if you wait till everything's right before you do anything for God, you'll never do nothing for God. You've got to say, "God, I ain't much, but I'm going to go anyway and take what I have and use it for you. Glory." Hey, buddy, we'd have never got this building built right here if we'd have waited for everything to get right. If we'd have waited on everybody's approval and all the money to come in, are you kidding? Some people have a good, healthy body and a good mind, but their husband or wife mean as a devil. And other people have a good wife or a good husband, but no sense. Other people have good sense, good brains, but bad health, see? Other people have good health and no money. Other people have plenty of money and can't get a hold of the God in the Bible. They can't grasp what the Bible's saying. It don't sink into them. Some people have no charisma, no gifts at all, but they have a fine family and a good mind to love God and serve God. But everybody has something in their life that would prevent them from serving God if they wanted to use it for an excuse. Some people have great disappointments. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, you just don't realize I tried to serve God for a little while and some things happened and I just decided, well, you know what I got to say to you tonight? You'll get up. You'll live. It ain't going to kill you. Don't you know God's big enough that He could have fixed that if He'd wanted to? Don't you know God's big enough that He could have made it so that you didn't have a handicap?" You say, "Well, why didn't He?" Because He wants you to serve in spite of your handicap. You see, what people don't realize is that if a person will say, "Okay, God, if you're not going to fix it, I'm just going to work." Who would have thought? Who would have thought? I hate to keep bringing stuff like this, but like many people is coming to our church lately. We've had so many people get saved in 1991, and just, Lord have mercy, I don't know where they're all coming from. There was, what, 100 and something people came in here for preaching service, 133, something like that, just for preaching service this morning, 133 people just walked in from who knows where. And here they all come in here to serve God or hear something about God. I'm telling you, I sit up here and I have these prophets of doom saying, "Boy, that church will never make it through what you're going through. That church will fall just as sure as the world." They've been saying that for 13 years. They've been saying, and sometimes I start believing. I say, "God, what?" And it seems like the more bad stuff happens to us, the more God blesses. I can't believe it. It blows my mind because I think, "Boy, if this was right and that was right and this was right and that was right, but we'd have a great..." Well, we probably wouldn't be high for where we are today if God hadn't allowed trouble to come our way. Listen, folks, He's God. He's God. He could have stopped all that trouble from happening. He could have stopped doctors from falling in. He could have stopped our personal trouble and problems that we've had and many of you have had. He could have stopped it, but He didn't. He did it so that we would serve Him in spite of it and be a testimony to the world that God is doing it and not us. Don't you doubt it for a second. You say, "Why don't God just fix it?" Well, I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why God don't fix it. Best thing for you to do is just make the best out of the situation you're in. Instead of waiting on everything to get right so you can serve God. Hey, some of you fix in here tonight, and this ain't one of them main messages, but this
There's some of you sitting here tonight that you got out of visitation, you got out of bus ministry, you got to be active in the choir, you got out of serving God, because something happened a long time ago, and you got your feelings hurt, or maybe I hurt you, or you got your feelings... And listen, you going to sit around and whine about that all your life, or you going to make the best out of our situation? Well, Brother Danny, Well, don't we all? We all wish it was perfect. We all wish everything was just right, but it's not. It's not, and it ain't gonna be. And as soon as we get through one trouble, there'll be another trouble. You got that through yet? We're in the world, brother. We're on the devil's territory. We're in the flesh. There's going to be problems and handicaps, brother. If you're going to sit around and wait till everything's perfect in your church before you serve God, buddy, the devil's tricking you. You'll never do nothing for God Almighty. You've got to say, Lord, this ain't that it right, but I'm going to pick up and serve you and do my part and serve God regardless of whether it's fixed or not. You remember about them frogs? I'll read you this little poem. Two frogs fell into a deep cream bowl. One was an optimistic soul, but the other took the gloomier view. "We shall drown," he cried, without more ado. With the last despairing cry, he flung up his legs and said goodbye. But the other frog, with a merry grin, said, "I can't get out, but I won't give in. I'll just swim around till my strength is spent. Then I will die the more content." Bravely he swam until it would seem his struggles began to churn the cream. On top of the butter at last stopped, and out of the bowl he gaily hopped. What of the moral? 'Tis easily found. If you can't hop out, just keep swimming around. You say, "Well, I'm in a bad situation." Well, just keep kicking and kicking and kicking and kicking and going to church and reading your Bible and praying and kicking. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, I can't feel God." Kick, kick, man, kick. I mean, just don't give in. Just don't give in. The devil can't do nothing with a person that won't give in. Overcome your hand out and serve him anyway. All right, now why don't God fix it? Number one, God don't fix it so he can keep us humble. You won't get too big for your britches. Paul said, "Lord, I could do great things if you'd remove my thorn." And the Lord said, "Yeah, and you'd get the big head and think it was you too. And I couldn't use you." Now, Paul, you're going to keep your thorn. But God, there'd be a lot more people saved if you'd get my thorn out. Well, they wouldn't, Paul, because I know how you human beings are. If I did everything you wanted me to and answered all your prayers, you'd never hardly even speak to me. But I have to give you enough problems so you'll talk to me once in a while. Isn't that right? Amen, brother. When everything's going good, we don't pray near as much. Boy, when the Lord lets something bad happen, it'll... Hey, this war... Did you know I heard on the news the other day that church attendance was up everywhere? I mean, about all denominations. It's a shame that it took a war to make people want to go back to church. That's a shame. But thank God something has made people want to go back to church. Moses said, "Lord, if I could talk plain, I would be a great preacher." Somebody said there's a self-opening gate out on a country road, like at a farm. And they said, if you drive right at it, it'll open. It's like these electric doors at the grocery store, see? What if you stood about right here and said, "Well, that thing ain't going to open. I'm going to bust my head." See, you got to step towards it, see? And when you step towards it, you got to take that step of faith. Door goes open. Ain't that right? Every time you step on, you don't go at that thing like this, do you? You know it's going to open. You got faith that one or two more steps and the door is going to open. Now that's the way it is in serving God. "Lord, if you'll open that door, I'll be glad to go through it." The Lord says, "Walk." And you say, "Good night, I'll get hurt if I do that." And the Lord says, "Walk." And you say, "But Lord, open it and then I'll walk." And the Lord says, "No, you got to step on out here, and as soon as you get right there, I will open the door." God never will open everything up in front of you. He just does it a little at a time. You take a step, he'll open the door. 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 That's the way the Lord does. He does it to keep us humble. But then let me say secondly tonight, I'm going to move on right quickly. I'm not going to be long.
to help you understand grace. God will not fix your handicap to help you understand grace. Gideon got rid of about 9/10 of his men, 300 men, and won the battle. You know why God did that? So that Gideon and his 300 would know that it was God that did it and not him. David, the little boy, took the sling and took the rock, hit the giant. All Saul and the whole army stood back. God did it to show him his grace. Daniel did not get delivered from the lion's den, but God was with him through that lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not get delivered from the fiery furnace. They had to go in the fiery furnace. But God was with them and brought them out on the other side of the fiery furnace. If all you do is listen to the preachers that's on TV, you get the wrong concept of God. You think God never will let you go to the lion's den. You think God never will let you go in the fiery furnace. But that is not the way God operated in the Bible. In the Bible, He did let them go in the lion's den. He did let them go in the fire, but He was there with them and was with them on the other side and got more glory for delivering them. I heard about a man out in Kansas. Hear me now. A man out in Kansas who was in a terrible accident. Lost both his hands. His face was, something blew up in his face. His eyesight was gone. His lips couldn't feel. And his greatest regret was he couldn't read the Bible. He loved to read the Bible. And he lost all feeling in his hands and face. His nerves were gone. They were numb. And they said the greatest thing that bothered him more than anything was he couldn't read the Bible anymore. And they was going to get him, somebody said, we'll get him some Braille, you know, with the raised top. And we'll take it to him and maybe he can run his hands up. But they said no, because he couldn't feel with his hands. The nerves were gone in his fingers and he couldn't feel the letters. And they said, well, he'll never be able to do it. They said, maybe he can do it with another part of the body. He couldn't feel anything. And they said, well, I guess you'll never read the Bible again. And his heart was broken. And he said, no, no, I've got to have the Word of God. They said, no, you'll never read the Bible again. And he said, before you take it away, let me kiss it. Just let me kiss it. And they took that Bible and put it up there. He goes, and they started taking it. And he said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I felt it. And what happened was he could feel it with his tongue. And he said, I can feel it. And that guy learned to run his tongue over them letters and tell what they were. Kind of bad when we're sitting here and got good 20/20 vision and we can't read the Bible. See what I'm saying? You can do it if you want to bad enough. You say, well, Brother Danny, I've got to get up early in the morning. That's not your problem. Something's wrong with your want to. Something's wrong with your want to. Well, preacher, some bad things happen in my church where I go and I just said I was going to quit. No, no, that ain't your problem. Your church, your problem. Your want to is your problem. I've had people blow out, you know, get mad, quit church, and wind up not going to church anywhere. The church wasn't their problem. There's 190 churches in McDowell County. Amen? They won't go to none of them. That ain't their problem. They want to. Their backslid's their problem. And they're blaming it on this. They're blaming it on that. They're blaming it on something else. But that fella got in the book. And then let me say number three right quickly. God will not fix our handicap many times so that His power may rest upon us. One person with a belief is worth 99 with only an interest. They say the size of a dog in a fight ain't near as important as the size of the fight that's in that dog. All of us know stories where a little bitty dog come out. Well, I mean, he was full of it, buddy. And a big dog took off and had his tail between his legs. All of us know stories like that. All of us know stories where the little team from the little school come out and whip the big team from the big school, where number 10 in football beat number 1. You know what that is? Boy, there's just something down on the inside of a person that says we may not be as good as they are. We may not be as big a school as they are, but buddy, we want it and we're going to overcome our handicap and win that football championship or baseball or basketball or what it is. That's the secret, folks. And brother, when we
when people says, I told you about that old fella I picked up out here one day, and I picked him up and I was taking him home down toward Nebo somewhere, and he was, of course, in bad shape. He was an alcoholic, walks up and down the street out here all the time. I picked him up, you know, before. He looked over at me and said, Danny, what you been doing? I said, I'm still going like I always have. He said, that's good. And I said, listen, we got you a seat saved up at the church. You better come. He said, I got a lot of confidence in you. I said, I appreciate that. He said, you know, you've been through a lot up there. And he named off things that had happened, like our building and stuff like that. And I began to think about that after I let him out, and I said, well, Lord, while all that stuff was going on, I was thinking, good night. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? God, where are you? Are you sure that we're doing the right thing? But I didn't know that the old drunks that hang out over here on the railroad track was a-watching. And one of these days, they're going to get under conviction. And they're going to want to come to here preaching and come and get saved. I've had them tell me. They said, if I ever decide to come to church, that's where I'm a-coming up there. Ain't you heard people say that? You know why? Because they're watching us. They're watching us. And they... if God fixed everything in our life and we had it made and they was out here laid off from their job sleeping on the side of the railroad track, they could look and say, no wonder they served you. Look how you bust them. I ain't got nothing. But when they see us go through handicap and serve God anyway, they say, that's God and not them. Amen? And then let me say one more thing and I'll be through, that we may be strong to win souls. You know what? The weird thing about being a Christian is when you're weak, you're strong. If you think you're strong, you're nothing. When you think you can't do nothing, that's when you... I heard about a young preacher, and all you young preachers listen to this. He just graduated from seminary. He finally got an opportunity to preach, but he had his perfect sermon polished. He was going to get up there and just blow them people's mind with his eloquence and his pulpit ability, all of his oratorical gifts and his immaculate dress, and his socks would match, and he'd know just how to cross his legs and do like this, you know. That's what they teach you in school. You're not supposed to point, you know, like we do. You do like this. Like that. I don't know who you're pointing out that way. But you're not supposed to do that, bad manners. But anyway, he had it down pat, man. That boy was ready. He got up and he said, ladies and gentlemen, open your Bibles to them. And he was going to be the greatest preacher that ever lived. And boy, he got his tongue tangled up. He couldn't remember his words. He lost his illustration. He couldn't keep his train of thought. And finally, he just made a complete fool out of himself. And finally, he just went, folks, I've made a mess. And I'm sorry. I thought I could be a great preacher. Well, I can't be no great preacher. I've just made a mess. And he walked down. And he's walking out the door. And he's walking out the back of the door. There's an old man stopped him in the back. And he leaned over and he said, son, come here a minute. And that boy looked at him and he said, if you would have went up like you came down, you could have came down like you went up. That's why God lets us have handicap. Sir Walter Scott was crippled. Theodore Roosevelt had asthma. Jonathan Edwards tried 700 things in a light bulb before he could get one to work. He wasn't no smarter than we are. I could invent one 700 tries, couldn't you? The guy that won the Society of Art and the grand prize in 1895 had no hands. He drew it with his mouth. You ever heard about the girl who was a national champion of swimming at 19 years old? When she was 10, she had polio. She's on crutches for 4 years and became a swim champion at 19. Success is 95% preparation, 5% education. Success is not measured by the position one reaches, but by the obstacles that person overcomes in getting there. Don't ever forget that. And I'll tell you what you do tonight. You do the very best you can do under your situation. And that's all God expects of you. This will never be a church, by the grace of God, where I make everybody live up to a certain level. I know we got people that ain't been saved 3 months. We've got people been saved 10 years. But my message to you tonight is do the best you can do in your situation and lay down at night and trust God and serve Him. Don't be discouraged because you can't run as fast as somebody else. Everybody can't be a John Ollis and teach Sunday school, lead singing and have a good home and all that. Everybody can't have that. Some of you girls in here sitting here tonight have lived by yourself and tried to raise your kids. And that's a real handicap. It really is. And nobody should ever take these people like this and look down on them because they're maybe not be as faithful to this or that. You don't. If you was in their shoes, you probably might not even be serving God. Sometimes I get a lot of criticism sometimes. And most of the time it don't bother me. But sometimes, boy, I tell you, I have people say, boy, Danny Castle, you shouldn't have done this. Done that. Sometimes I want to knock her tail. Sometimes I want to look back and say, son, if you've been through what I've been through, you'd be in a bar drunk somewhere. Amen? Amen? You never know. You never know. So before you look with criticism on that person, that success isn't measured by how far you are. It's by the obstacles you're overcoming getting there. Just do the very best you can do. And serve God in your situation, and He'll bless you for it and use you with it. Let's stand back. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And I guess the invitation tonight should probably be, maybe there's somebody here tonight discouraged, and maybe you're discouraged and you're thinking, well, good night. I ain't as bad off as I thought I was. God does have the situation under control. I know I'm handicapped. I know there's something in my life that I wish God would fix. What are you going to do? Wait until He does? He may never do it. He may never do it. Now, He might have mercy on you and do it, but He probably won't. He'll leave something in your life to keep you humble. What you got to learn how to do is serve Him anyway. Serve Him anyway. All right? We're going to pray. We're going to sing. Thank God that something's already maybe coming to the altar. God's dealing with your heart. We've already got something coming to pray tonight. You just feel free to come. Get down here on your knees. Serve Him anyway, friend. Serve Him anyway. Father, help our church tonight. Lord, I don't know who I preached to tonight. I don't know who this has helped. But Lord, I know that You've laid this message on my heart because You wanted somebody here tonight to hear it. And it's been especially for someone here this evening. Lord, there may be someone here tonight that may be thinking, phooey, I just might as well give up. I can't live like so-and-so. I can't live like so-and-so. So I might as well just quit. Lord, help them not to look at it that way. Help them to come in here and serve You regardless. To come in on crutches. Come in a wheelchair, but cross the finish line. Come in hobbling, come in limping, come in blind, come in halt or maimed, but come in. Help them to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. 490. Number 490.